Thanks for tuning in to 318 Live Podcast. If this is your first time, we want you to know that you are loved. And we're praying for you. We're praying that each message will encourage you no matter what journey you find yourself in. We hope you enjoy this message.
Come on, is anybody glad that they showed up this Monday night? Come on, I'm glad that I am here. Because sometimes you just need to be reminded that I am all that you say I am. You need to just sing that song. I am all that you say I am. Because you know what God says? God says that you are a masterpiece. Come on, you might have felt like you were a five-year-old painting. You know what I'm saying? Like just, I got a five-year-old at home and she tries her best to draw. And it does not look like a Picasso, okay? It does not look like a Rembrandt. She does her best. And that might be how you feel when you walk in, that you're just a five-year-old drawing. No, no, no. You are his masterpiece. You are his work of art. You are God's very best. And you just need to remember that you are who he says that you are. We're going to continue on in our current series entitled Heart Conditions. Heart Conditions. And we are talking about the condition of our heart. And man, if you were not here last week, I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast, because Jenny Green kicked off the series last week, I mean, with a powerful and profound message talking about void fillers. That we all have voids in our heart, and sometimes we try to fill those voids with position. And sometimes we try to fill those voids with our potential. And sometimes we try to fill those voids with people, but they are all artificial void fillers that will always let us down. The only thing that can fill the void that God put in our heart is himself. He put the void in us so that we would long for him, and that in him we would find everything that we are looking for. And the heart is so important. I mean, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, this is what King Solomon said. The Bible says about Solomon, he's the wisest man that ever lived. And this is what the Bible says. This is the Message translation. It says, keep vigilant watch over your heart, because that's where life starts. Some of us are having problems in life because we don't know where life starts. We're having problems in our day because we don't know where life really starts. We're having problems in our relationships because we don't know where life really starts. We're having problems in what we say and in what we think because we don't know where life really starts. It says it this way in another translation. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything. You got to guard your heart, because everything you do is going to flow forth from your heart. Your flow in life will always come from your feel. Whatever you have filled yourself up with is what will flow out of your life. And if you don't like your flow, all you have to do is to change your feel, because you will never get anything out of your life that you didn't put in your life. You don't put one thing in and get another thing out. You can't get godliness out when you only put goofiness in. When you just want to act goofy all the time, but then there's a moment and you want godliness out. You don't get godliness out when all you put is goofiness in. And it's the same thing. You won't get junk out when all you put in is Jesus. You're not going to get, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, I'm not saying you're going to make all decisions, but your life is not going to be full of junk when you are constantly putting Jesus in. When you wake up with Jesus on your mind and you get in the Word and you sing worship all the way to work, and all you are thinking about is getting to Monday night so that you can worship some more and pray some more and hang out with the Christian community, and when you're focused on praying for the lost, whenever Jesus is always on your mind, guess what? You're not going to get junk out of your life when you're constantly putting Jesus in. But whatever you're going to get out is what you put in. That's why Solomon said you got to guard your heart, because everything in your life is going to flow from it. Be vigilant, be watchful. Your heart is worth fighting for. Your heart is worth protecting. Your heart is worth standing in front of and saying, no, not today, fear. No, not today, worry. No, not today. I've got to guard my heart, because if I let you in here, you're going to cause me to flow in a direction that I don't want to flow in. I gotta make sure I'm putting the right things in so that I can get the right things out. And whenever we really talk about heart conditions, I mean, if we want to talk about our physical heart, like the stuff you go to the doctor about, you know, like real heart conditions, most of the heart conditions we have are because we did something to ourselves. There is a small percentage of people that are born with heart conditions, but most people get their heart conditions because of bad eating habits. Most people get their heart conditions because they don't exercise. Most people get heart conditions because they live in excessive stress and worry and anxiety. Most people get heart conditions because they make poor health choices, because they smoke, because they drink excessively, because they use drugs, and it damages our heart. Most of our heart conditions we have done to ourselves. Now, this is what I can tell you about life, is that we were all born into sin. We were all born with a measure of a heart condition, but can I tell you that we make that heart condition so much worse? We do it to ourselves. We do it to ourselves. We do exactly what we do to our physical hearts in damaging our physical hearts. We do it to our spiritual heart. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, and therefore turn their hearts away from the Lord. How many of you have ever done that before in your life? I can lift my hand and say that I have been that on the screen right there. I have been the person that put confidence in myself, that put trust in myself, that depended upon myself. I have been that person that said, I'm going to take over now, God. I know what's best for me. I know how to handle this situation. I know how to respond to this issue. I'm going to take control right now because I know what is going to work out best for me. I have been this person, and whenever we do this, it says we turn our hearts away from the Lord. It says there that we're already cursed. When you do that, you're already cursed because your heart is separated from the blessing, from the blessor. Verse 6 there in Jeremiah 17, it says, they are like stunted shrubs in the desert. Come on, when you think about your life, did you ever pray, God, just make me a stunted shrub in the desert? No, they're like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. When you take control of your life, the Bible says you're a stunted shrub in the middle of the desert. There's no hope for you, no hope for your future. They will live in the barren wilderness. I just had something come across my mind. I was just driving. This last week, I went to Macomb, Mississippi. Yeah, whoa, you've never heard of that before. You're like, whoa, Macomb, wow. You might as well have gone across the world. Yeah, it felt like I drove across the world to get there. And as I was driving down one of the little back roads on my way to Macomb, Mississippi, you know what the name of the church I saw? Wilderness Church of God. Who's going to name their church Wilderness? Like, that's not where you want to be, like wandering around in the wilderness. That's what we're trying to get people out of the wilderness. We're trying to get people into the promised land. And every week they say, where are you going? I'm going to the wilderness. My gosh. I'm here, like, it even puts an adjective on the front. It's the barren wilderness, right? They don't want to live in the wilderness. They will live. But this is what it says. When you put your trust in your own self, when you put your trust in another human, when you're relying on your own strength, you will live in a barren wilderness. Man, in an uninhabited, salty land. Let's go on. I got so much to say tonight. I can't get sidetracked. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat are worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. See, we have a choice of the condition of our heart. Do we want to be people that depend upon ourselves, our own talent, and our own ways, and thereby we are like shrubs living in the barren wilderness? Or do we want our roots to go down deep into Christ and allow ourselves, even in the tough months, even in the tough seasons, we are not worried because the roots have gone so deep and they have found the living water. The roots are so planted in the ground that I'm not worried about my situation. I'm not worried about the drought. I'm not worried about the adversity because I'm so deep into Christ, and I'm so deep into Christ that I can produce fruit. Even in a drought, I can produce fruit. It's all about the condition of your heart. What are you going to choose? To trust Him or to trust yourself? To trust His way or to trust your way? This is the condition of our heart that we have to guard so carefully. We have to guard it so carefully. And tonight I want to talk about one specific heart condition. It's called heart arrhythmia. I'm not going to use that big word all night long. It just means this: it's an irregular heartbeat. How many of you have ever heard of an irregular heartbeat? How many of you heard you got an irregular heartbeat? Okay, that's what we're going to call it tonight, because I won't be able to pronounce arrhythmia all night long. Matthew chapter 11, I want to go here tonight. This is going to be our main little verse for the rest of our time together. Matthew 11, verses 25. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Isn't that great that Jesus just broke into prayer spontaneously? You know, it's okay for you to spontaneously break into prayer. For you to be driving on your lunch break and just spontaneously break into prayer. It's okay for you to be walking to class across the quadrangle of your school and spontaneously just break into prayer. Jesus just abruptly broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from the sophisticates and the know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Somebody say amen for that. Amen. God's not showing up for the know-it-alls. He's not showing up for the proud. He's not showing up for those that got it all figured out. He's not showing up for those that are telling him how to do his job. That's not who he's showing up for. But he's showing up and he's speaking to ordinary people. Why? Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. God likes to work with ordinary people who don't want any glory for themselves. They want to give all the glory to Him. And Jesus continues on in verse 28. He says, are you tired? You're worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Everybody say rhythms of grace. Come to me, Jesus says, and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. These unforced rhythms of grace. Let me just give you this definition of grace, and maybe you want to write it down, maybe you want to put it in your phone. This is a definition of grace. We did a series on grace last year, maybe 2 years ago, and we used this as a working definition of the word grace. Grace is so multifaceted in the Word of God, and this is the definition that we used. And we said that grace was this: it's the unmeasurable love, the unmerited favor, and the unlimited power of God that enables me to live life God's way. It is the unmeasurable love. See, you can't stop there. You can just say that grace is love, but grace is so much more than love. You can just say, well, grace in the Bible is actually defined as unmerited favor, but grace is so much more than just unmerited favor. You could say that grace is power, that His grace gives me power. Yeah, but it's so much more than power. It is the unmeasurable love, the unmerited favor, and the unlimited power of God that enables me to live life God's way. And We know that there is this unforced rhythm of grace that is available to those that believe upon him. There's this unforced rhythm of grace to the followers of Jesus Christ. And hear me clearly tonight, it doesn't mean that there won't be trouble. It just means that your trouble won't be able to change your rhythm. It doesn't mean that life won't get difficult at times. It just means that you don't have to lose your divine rhythm in the midst of your difficulty. You get to keep the rhythm of grace. You get to keep the unforced rhythm of grace. Despite the storm, you get to keep the rhythm. Despite the drought, you get to keep the rhythm. Despite the adversity, it doesn't matter how many glass show up, you get to keep the rhythm, because the rhythm of grace is not determined by what you see. It's not determined by your situation. It's not determined by your circumstance. The rhythm of grace is dependent upon the one that is on the inside of you, not the one that is standing around you. And you can live in the rhythm of God's grace. You can live in the rhythm of God's favor. You can live in the rhythm of God's power. You can live in that rhythm that is going to allow you to live life the way that he created you to live it. But how many of you know we can get out of rhythm so fast? I mean, it sounds so good. This unforced rhythm of grace. It's out. Hey, man, I love that. But how many of you know it's hard sometimes to get in that rhythm, and it's so easy to get out of that rhythm. How do we get out of the rhythm? We can get out of the rhythm when we start trying to force it. People try to force the lifestyle of grace. They try to force the rhythm of grace. They got the keychain, the bracelet, the t-shirt, the bumper sticker, the big Bible, the gospel tracts, memorized Christian cliches. I mean, they got it all down. They are doing everything they can to force the rhythm of grace in their life. God is good all the time. I mean, they got everything that you want. Trying to force, and there's nothing wrong with the keychain. You don't have to go trade in your keychain if you got a keychain tonight. I'm not talking about you. Maybe I'm talking about you. I don't know. That's for you to determine. But we try to force it sometimes. We try to force this rhythm of grace. And man, just on Saturday, I know you're thinking, man, where does this guy go? I normally like stay in like civilization, but this last week I have not been in Macomb, Mississippi on last Wednesday. And on Saturday, I was in Dodson, Louisiana. It should be Dotson, like it's a dot on the map. Like it's not even a real place, it's just a dot right there. And I was driving into Dotson, and there was a church right outside on the city limits, and it had this sign. And this is what it said: "It's not about the bunny, it's about the lamb." Man, come on. Come on. You know, and I drove a little bit further, and there was another church that said, "Come celebrate his resurrection with us." And I was like, why didn't that work for the other church? Like, just come celebrate with us. It's not about the bunny. It's about the lamb. You see, we can have all of those cute cliches. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to force a rhythm of grace. We're trying to let everybody else know, this is who I am, and I've got it together, and I hate the Easter bunny, but I love Jesus, you know? I mean, it's not about the bunny. It's about the lamb, you know? Don't tell me happy Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. I don't care. I'll tell you happy Easter if I want to tell you happy Easter. Let it be whatever it is to you. Just let it be that. But you don't have to try to force a rhythm of grace to prove how righteous you are and how godly you are. God knows your heart. You don't have to prove it to anybody else. We can try to force it. You know what forcing grace will do? Forcing grace is hard work. Forcing grace will burn you out. Forcing grace will make you weary. Forcing grace is a bummer. Because you think you're going to be headed in the right direction, and then you don't have what it takes to make it all the way to the finish line. We get out of rhythm not just because we try to force it. We get out of rhythm because we try to fake it. We try to fake it. We get out of rhythm because we try to fake it. James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Come near to God, and he will draw near to you. You are sinners, so clean the sin out of your lives. You are trying to follow God and the world at the same time. Make your thinking pure. You're trying to follow after God with all of your heart, and you're trying to follow the world with all of your heart. You're trying to get around your Christian friends and say one thing. You're trying to get around your world friends and say something else. You're trying to get around your church friends and say one thing. You're trying to get around your boyfriend and say something else. You're trying to go all in with this way and all in with that way. And let me tell you, whenever you start trying to fake it, your heart will literally divide. The word division, it is division. It means there are two visions. That's what it is. When you have a vision for your life in God and you have a vision in your life for yourself, it will always create division in your heart. And you wonder why your heart is ripped open and you wonder why there's no peace in your heart, because you've got two things pulling on your heart and you can't decide which way you want to go. So we just try to fake it. We try to fake it. And guess what? When we try to fake it, we get out of rhythm. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You try to serve two masters, what's going to happen? You're going to get out of rhythm. You're not going to be in rhythm. You're going to get out of rhythm. You get out of rhythm when you force it, when you fake it. But you know what else you can get out of rhythm? When you just want to feel it. You get out of rhythm when you just want to feel it. Because I can tell you one thing about your feelings are going to lie to you. Your feelings are going to lie to you. The worst advice anybody could ever give you is say, follow your heart. Follow your heart, because Jeremiah 17 says that the heart above all else is wicked. It says that it is the most deceitful of all things, is the human heart. If you follow your heart, I'm just going to follow my heart into this, you will end up in a place that you never dreamed you would ever be in your life. Because when you live by your feelings, what's going to happen in your life when you don't feel God anymore? I've been preaching the gospel for 21 years, and I can tell you there have been seasons of my life when I have prayed, I have fasted, I have worshiped, I have read the entire New Testament, and I never felt God one time. Never felt God. Never felt. And if I was living for a feeling, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. What's going to happen the first time that you don't feel like worshiping, you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like reading your Bible? It's all good whenever you're feeling it and you got the vibe and you're hungry and you're going after it. But what happens when you don't feel it anymore? When you're doing everything you used to do? There's no sin in my heart. There's no sin in my life. I'm not rebelling against God. God had removed his presence from me because of my actions or my attitudes. I'm doing everything the way that I have always done it. And I'm worshiping, but it just feels like nothing is getting there, and it feels like nothing is coming down here. But I didn't get in this thing to serve God for a feeling. I didn't serve him so that I could get a goosebump. You see, whenever you feel it, you're always living for the next goosebump. I'm living for the next emotional experience. And whenever we begin to feel it, guess what happens? We get out of rhythm. Why don't I feel it right now? What's wrong? Where did God go? What's wrong with me? I don't know. How am I going to move forward if I don't feel it? And we get out of rhythm. We get out of rhythm. You try to force it. You try to fake it. You're always trying to feel it. You get out of rhythm. And I just want to give you four quick signs tonight, four quick signs of an irregular heartbeat. These are real signs of a real irregular heartbeat, and I'm going to take them and I'm going to make them spiritual, and I believe that God's going to speak to you tonight through it. Here's one sign of an irregular heartbeat is you got fluttering sensations. Fluttering sensations. It says that if you have this arrhythmia, this irregular heartbeat, it can be premature beats that occur often in rapid succession, and they may cause greater awareness of these heart palpitations, and your heart starts beating fast. It can start beating up over 100 beats a minute, and it creates this fluttering sensation in your chest or in your neck. A fluttering sensation. Premature beats create a fluttering sensation in your physical heart, but can I tell you that immature beats create a fluttering sensation in your spiritual heart? Immature beats create a fluttering sensation in your emotional heart. An irregular heartbeat is when you feel the flutter. But what if we just took it and we just tweaked it a little bit and said that your irregular heartbeat is whenever you feel the flatter, when I need to feel the flattery. I need to feel a sensation. I need to feel something. I need a sensation. I need to feel something on the inside. You shouldn't need a sensation whenever you're built on the right foundation. You shouldn't need the next sensation, the next good feeling, whenever your life is built on the right foundation. I don't need to feel what he has already sealed. And you see, he has already sealed it. It is already, when he hung on that cross and he said, "It is finished," what he was saying is, you don't ever have to feel it again because it is finished. You are a winner. You are a conqueror. You are redeemed. You are full of my spirit. You are more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. That's what he said. It is finished. It is done. It doesn't matter if you ever feel a goosebump again in your life. It is finished. But when I need a sensation, guess what? You'll end up looking for that sensation in the wrong places. You'll go after that sensation, and by going after that sensation, you'll end up seeking after the wrong things. You'll go out looking for a new word from God when you haven't even obeyed the last word that he gave you. Just because I want that sensation. You go looking for someone that will listen to you, comfort you, affirm you. Why? Because I just need to feel good about myself. I need somebody else to validate me. Why? Because I need that fluttering sensation that somebody really cares about me. When the creator of all heaven and earth gave the very best gift that he could ever give just for you, he could never prove his love for you any better than he has already done for you. But we go seeking this somewhere else. And that's why the word of God, Jesus told us in Matthew 6:33, he says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." And if it doesn't come from seeking the kingdom of God, you don't need it. You don't need it. Because he will give you everything you need. You know what you're after? You're after what you want and not what you need. I want a fluttering sensation. This is just a sign. It's just a sign that I've got an irregular heartbeat, that my heart is not beating with the rhythm of his grace. My heart is getting out of rhythm because I'm needing something that the scripture tells me I don't need. What does it mean when you have an immature beat? Immature just means not mature. Do you know what not mature means? It means unripe. It means there is no fruit on your tree. When you are immature, there is just no fruit in your life. And while you're looking for a feeling, God is just looking for fruit. And you're upset because you don't have a feeling, and God's looking at you going, "Where's your fruit?" And here's what I can tell you about fruit. Fruit will never be produced in your feeling. Fruit will always be produced in faith. And if you've got to have a feeling in order to do it, then you don't need faith to do it. But your fruit is going to be produced in the moments of faith when I don't feel God's presence and I'm going to worship him anyway. When I don't feel like waking up and reading his word and I'm going to wake up and read it anyway. I don't feel like praying tonight, but I'm still going to get down beside my bed on my face and I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. Why? Because that's where fruit is produced, in moments of faith. And if I need to feel it, it's not faith. Here's the second sign of an irregular heartbeat. The first sign is our fluttering sensation. Here's the second sign is dizziness. An irregular heartbeat causes a lack of oxygen to the brain. This lack of vital oxygen will often cause the patient to experience dizziness, lightheadedness, to the point of losing balance and even passing out. A sign of an irregular heartbeat is dizziness. When your heart starts to affect your mind, when your heart starts to overrule your mind, when your heart starts playing starts playing games with your mind, because that's what happened when your physical heart begins to get out of rhythm and it begins to beat irregularly, and all of a sudden now there's not enough oxygen getting into your brain because your heart is working so hard, but the oxygen is not getting to your brain, and you get dizzy but because your heart is playing games with your mind. And it works the same way in your spirit. Whenever you begin to chase your heart and you begin to allow your heart to dictate your life and your heart to rule your life, and your heart starts taking things away from your mind, and you need your heart and your mind working together. You can't live your life just on your heart. Why? Because you start making bad decisions. You start lacking wisdom. You know you shouldn't go watch a movie over at her house all alone on Saturday night. You know that. You know you shouldn't send that text message at midnight. You know that. You know you shouldn't do that. You know you shouldn't go to the party. You know you shouldn't drink the drink. You know what happens. But what happens is our heart begins to overrule our mind, and we start living by our feelings and not by what we know. And when we do that, we find ourselves in this dizzy state, and we find ourselves beginning to lose our balance, and that's how we trip and fall. Because we didn't put our wisdom and our will together. We let our will outweigh our wisdom. That's why they got to work together. Mark 12, just what Jesus said, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You got to put your heart and your mind together. You can't just live life by your heart. You got to live it with your mind. Your mind and your heart, they've got to be on the same page. My girls, I've got a five-year-old and a three-year-old. And man, they love to do the whole spin thing, you know, like spin around, spin around, spin around, spin around, and then try to walk, you know. And you can't do it. It's impossible. You can't do it when you're full grown, much less when you're 3 years old and you have a trouble walking across the floor anyway. And so they spin around. And I love to do it because it's just so funny, you know, until they bust their head open. But before then, it's funny because you spin them around and they start walking, and, you know, and they got this sideways thing, and it's inevitable. They're going down. It happens every time. But do you know that's what you look like to God whenever your heart gets out of rhythm? It looks like you've just been spinning around and spinning around, and now you're trying to follow God, but you're letting your heart pull you this way, and God say, no, you need to come this way, and you know where you're trying to go, but it drifts you up. Why? Because you're out of balance. You're out of balance. Out of balance. Why? Because your heart is not beating at the rhythm of His grace. Your heart is out of rhythm. God's grace, he's got a rhythm for your heart to beat in. But whenever we start trying to take control and we get out of the wisdom that He has given us, and we start trying to create our own rhythm, we get out of the rhythm of grace, and we get out of the rhythm of grace, we get dizzy. And when we get dizzy, we lose our balance. And when we lose our balance, we fall. Here's the third thing, the third sign that you might have an irregular heartbeat. You got your fluttering sensations. You got your dizziness. Your life is off balance right now. Not moving in the direction you want to move. Here's a third, fatigue. 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 An irregular heartbeat causes inadequate blood supply to the rest of the body, which results in weakness, listen to this, and a feeling that your body is drained of energy for no apparent reason. You may require more sleep and have trouble getting out of bed. Some people are right now, I think I've got an irregular heartbeat. I think that's my problem. I need to call Mom right now. Mom, that's why I couldn't make it to class. I had an irregular heartbeat. I just found out tonight. Pastor Phil laid it down for me. Now I know. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. I'm going to get this thing checked out. Fatigue. Fatigue, we get emotionally fatigued, spiritually, we get fatigued. Why? Because we forget that my power comes from grace. My power comes from grace. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is now inside of me. And I didn't do anything to put it there. I didn't do anything to earn it. I didn't do anything to deserve it. There is no way that I could have got this level of grace and this level of power on the inside of me. It was the favor of God, the love of God. It was the grace of God that put that power on the inside of me. And when I get out of the rhythm of that grace, when I get out of the rhythm of that power that is on the inside of me, and I begin to break the rhythm, then I get tired and fatigued. Because I'm out of the rhythm of grace. I'm out of the rhythm of his grace and the rhythm of his power. That's why the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the joy. How do you have the joy of the Lord? I stay in rhythm with grace. Man, when I'm in rhythm with grace, I can have the joy of the Lord. Man, I can find joy in his presence. I can find joy in his word. And I can find joy in his promise. But whenever I get out of that, then my strength dissipates. And I don't have the strength that I once had. And then what happens? I feel fatigued. We get fatigued when we lose sight of the future that God created us for. We get fatigued. We get tired when we forget our purpose. When we forget our purpose, that's when we lose our passion. And when I'm not waking up every day with my purpose in sight, then I'm going to lose my passion. And when I lose my passion, then the only thing that can come in is fatigue and weariness and tiredness. And I don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. Let me tell you what, if you have trouble getting out of the bed in the morning, you need to know your purpose and you need to begin to live with passion and you need to get in the rhythm of grace, because the rhythm of grace will give you the power you need, not just to get up out of bed, but it'll give you the power you need to get up out of your addiction and get up out of your failure and get up out of your bad relationships and get up out of your mediocrity and get up out of your average. It'll keep getting you back up. Trying to get up out of fatigue. And this is what happens. We get fatigued, then we get discouraged, we get depressed, and then we go, what is life? What am I living for? So frustrated. Fatigue is frustrating. We're frustrated by our fatigue. Because I want to do something for God. I remember that 4 years ago. I wanted to do something for God, but now I'm just tired. How did I get there? I got out of rhythm. Because the rhythm of grace will strengthen you. And the rhythm of grace will propel you. And the rhythm of grace will cause you to walk into your destiny. The rhythm of grace will cause you to accomplish what God created you to accomplish. But you get out of rhythm, you're going to get fatigued. You're going to get tired. Well, Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Why are you going to give up? Because you get out of the rhythm of grace. You're not going to give up when you're in rhythm with grace. You're not going to give up when you're in the rhythm of living the abundant life. You're not going to give up whenever you're living in the overflow of his love, the overflow of his purpose, the overflow of his peace, the overflow of his joy. You're not going to give up when you're living in the overflow of his goodness and his kindness. You're not going to quit whenever you're living in the overflow. That's where the rhythm of grace is. But when you step out of the rhythm of grace, you're going to get tired. You're going to get frustrated and you're going to get fatigued. And tonight, if you are tired and weary and fatigued and you don't feel like you have what it takes to accomplish what God has put in front of you to accomplish, then you need to see, is my heart out of rhythm tonight? Here's the last thing. The fourth sign that you might be out of rhythm is that you've got chest pain. You got chest pain. You got chest pain. You know, I'm so surprised by the people that live with so much pain. I'm really surprised. As a pastor, it's the one thing that really surprises me. The people that live with so much pain. And I'm not talking about back pain, hip pain. Or the person that's a pain in your neck, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that live with pain in their chest, pain in their spiritual heart. I'm amazed by people that carry the weight of regret, that carry the weight of shame, that carry the weight of disappointment. They carry that weight, and that weight creates a pain in their life. Can I tell you tonight that if you have a pain, now I understand life brings some painful moments. Now please understand me. I'm not saying that, man, if your grandfather just died 3 days ago and you've got pain in your heart, absolutely, yeah, you've got to grieve over that. There is no, I'm not trying to go there tonight, but do you know there are people that have lived with pain for the last 5 years? There are people that live with pain over things that happened 8 months ago. And they're carrying the pain of that moment, the pain of that conversation, the pain of that sin, the pain of that disappointment. They are carrying that, and it is like a constant pain in their chest. It is a discomfort, and at times it might feel like, man, I can't even breathe. I can't even get a breath of air because it feels like this weight on my chest. I can't go to bed at night because this weight in my chest. I can't find any peace, and I can't find any joy because I've got this pain in my chest because I can't believe I did that. Because I can't believe they did that to me. Chest pains. Chest pains. It's a sign of an irregular heartbeat. In the physical, but it's also a sign of an irregular heartbeat in the spiritual. If you have a pain in your chest, in your gut, in your soul, in your heart that has not gone away. Listen to these words of Jesus as we close tonight. John 14, verse 27. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. When the Apostle Paul talked about this peace, he says it is a peace that passes understanding. It is a peace that will go beyond your ability to comprehend. It will be a peace that will go beyond your family's ability to comprehend, your friends' ability to comprehend. They won't understand how you can walk through something like you're walking through and still have peace in your mind and peace in your heart. And even while you walk through it, sometimes you won't even know how I can be at so much peace. It's because the peace of God is a gift from heaven that the world cannot give. And when you live in the rhythm of grace, you live with the gift of peace. So I will not be troubled. So I will not be dismayed. So I will not be discouraged. Why? Because I'm living in the rhythm of his grace, and I'm not going to hold on to this pain, and I'm not going to get out of rhythm, and I'm not going to try to figure this out on my own. Instead, I'm going to say, God, this hurts so bad. God, I can't believe I did it. I can't believe that he said it. I can't believe that it happened. God, it hurts so bad, but you know what I need tonight? I need that gift that you promised, that gift of peace that would come into my mind, and that gift of peace that would come into my heart tonight. God, I've got so much pain on the inside of me, but I believe there is a gift of peace that will transcend every bit of pain that I am feeling on the inside tonight. And tonight, if you are carrying around pain, it could just be a sign that you're out of the rhythm of grace. Oh, because the rhythm of grace has with it peace. I say, how do you know that? How do you know that? Because the Bible says this is what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. That's the way of God. That's the world of God. That is the rhythm of grace. Happiness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That is the rhythm of grace. And that rhythm of grace is available for everyone that believes.
If this message encouraged you and you want to know more about 318 Live, go ahead and visit our website, 318live.co, and we hope that you have the best day ever.